We present Alec Clunes in No Other Tiger, a play by A.E.W. Mason from his novel of the same name. It's been arranged for broadcasting by Rex Renitz and Raymond Rex. No Other Tiger passed that way that night.
You admit it, here before this court of assize at Grenoble. You admit you were drunk?
No, Monsieur the President, I don't admit any such thing. We sat for 36 hours at the card table, hardly stopping to snatch a meal. We were on edge, all of us.
All of you? But all did not kill. Only one killed. You, Clutter. Tell this court of assize, why did you kill?
I was struck.
But you struck first.
A trap was set for me. I broke out of it. So would any man.
A trap? Who set the trap?
The Greek. Andreas Eleftherus, the Greek.
Let the jury of Grenoble hear about this man.
While I was staying in Paris, was it last year? Yes, 1919. I met him at Auteuil at the races. An acquaintance, I forget who, introduced us. This Greek had a stable full of horses which couldn't run and a dockyard full of ships which couldn't be insured. He was desperate for money.
Yet you dined with him as his guest that night, Clutter?
I didn't know about him then, sir. Yes, we dined at the Café de Paris. There were five of us. Eleftherus, Kettler, his trainer, Peyton, his handyman, an Englishman, the Conde Rosard, and myself. During the dinner, it was suggested that in a month's time we should all go up to Eleftherus's hunting box in the Dauphiné Alps and spend a week shooting chamois.
Who suggested this?
I don't remember.
Eleftherus declares it was you who suggested it.
That's a lie. The dinner was arranged so that I should be invited. It was all a plan to rob me.
You are a rich man, Clutter.
No, monsieur. I'm not rich at all, but my wife is. No doubt they thought she'd pay.
A month later, then, on the 23rd of October, you all met here at Grenoble.
Yes.
And the next day you went up into the mountain?
Yes.
There were servants at the hunting box?
Yes.
And guides, no doubt. And beaters?
Yes.
Servants and guides and beaters must be paid, Clutter. And yet you tell me Eleftherus was desperate for money.
But they were all part of the scheme, sir. They weren't there to hunt chamois. They were there to shear a sheep. Me. And the shearing was to begin in the evening when we sat down to play cards. Myself, Eleftherus, Kettler, Peyton, and...
And the Conde Rosard?
Yes, the Conde Rosard, a fine nobleman who for years had been suspected of cheating at cards.
The Rosard is dead, Clutter. You killed him.
He wasn't dead when he had to resign from the jockey club.
Proceed.
On the first morning, it was snowing. It was impossible to go out. And it continued to fall all that day, and that night, and the next day.
So someone proposed a game of cards?
Yes.
Who proposed it, Clutter? You?
No.
But they were your cards.
That's not true.
Do you deny you brought them to the hunting box in your luggage?
I do.
But we have the cards here, Clutter. They are English cards.
Peyton is also an Englishman. No doubt he provided them.
Oh, I see. So for 36 hours you played cards?
Yes, all the time it was snowing.
I suppose Eleftherus arranged the snow as well as the party. A remarkable man, Eleftherus. Well, after 36 hours, you caught the Comte de Rosard cheating. How cheating?
In the deal. I couldn't believe it at first. I watched and watched until I was sure.
And then you dashed the card table aside, accused him, and struck him to the guard.
Yes, I did.
And when he got up, you struck him again with a champagne bottle and killed him.
No, it wasn't like that. Peyton and Kettler seized my arms, and while they held me, de Rosard slapped me in the face. Again and again, I went mad. I must have grabbed a bottle and smashed it over his head.
And as he lay on the floor dead, you thrust the jagged bottle into his face?
I told you, I went mad.
You went mad. That is all, Clutter. Call Andreas Eleftherus.
Andreas Eleftherus.
Andreas Eleftherus.
You have told us, Monsieur Eleftherus, of your meeting with Clutter in Paris and of the suggestion of a hunting party here in the Alps. Who made that suggestion? Clutter?
I should not like to say that.
But you have already said it, Monsieur Eleftherus, in your deposition.
I wish to be just. I did think it was Clutter, but I may have been wrong. Sometimes these suggestions just grow with no definite author.
It has been said, Monsieur Eleftherus, that you arranged this hunting party not so much to shoot chamois as to shear a sheep.
If any of us mistook Clutter for a sheep, none of us has ever seen a tiger. It was by chance we played cards, sir. The snow was falling. We had no newspapers. We were a party of five men cut off from the world. It was natural we should pass the time at cards.
The stakes were high?
No. At first, they were quite low. But it is always the same. The longer one plays at cards, the higher the stakes grow. After 12 hours, we were playing with an unlimited rise.
And Clutter was losing?
Only towards the end. At the beginning, he won and won.
That's part of the routine.
I invite you to be silent, Clutter. Monsieur Electoros, you did not mind the stakes?
Was not happy.
Yet you made no attempt to stop the game?
I should have, I know. But, well, a host has difficulties, especially when a guest is losing heavily. You must picture the scene, sir. 36 hours at the table, none of us were normal.
What about Durota? He was normal enough.
No, none of us were normal, least of all you, Clutter. No one who was normal would strike a defenseless man and beat him to the ground. Monsieur le Président, I did what I could to restore peace, of course. I called on Kettler and Petain to hold Clutter till he had cooled down. But then, unfortunately, the Comte de Rossa became excited, too. He rose and slapped Clutter's face with his open hand.
Yes, while I was held by both arms.
I do not deny it. I make no excuses for de Rossa. But what he did was nothing to what followed. Ah, that was terrible. Clutter's strength was monstrous. He flung the two men from him as if they had been wisps of straw. He seized the bottle by the neck and struck again at the Comte de Rossa. The bottle burst. I screamed. Our guides came running in. And Clutter, he fought like a wild beast. We had to bind him with cords. It was brutal.
Stand up, Clutter. You don't deny these facts.
The facts, no, but the way that he tells them, yes, yes, yes. De Rosa struck me again and again. But he kept shouting, that is for you, pig, and that. I went mad. So would anyone.
Has counsel for the defense any questions?
Only one, Monsieur le Président. Monsieur Electoros, where did you first see the cards that you played with?
On the table in the living room. They were there on the morning after we arrived. The morning we should have gone shooting, but for the snow.
Thank you. Monsieur le Président, I call Elizabeth Clutter. All right.
Call Elizabeth Clutter.
Elizabeth Clutter.
You are Elizabeth Clutter, madame, and you are the wife of the prisoner, and you have been married to him for 3 years?
That is so.
During that time, you have lived happily together?
Well, yes.
Except, of course, for those little differences which must arise from time to time between married couples.
Yes. Often they were my fault. I'm nervous and difficult.
Yes, yes. But he is not a man who flies easily into great rages.
Oh, no.
No. He has never offered you violence.
Never.
Thank you, madame.
Does the avocat général wish to cross-examine?
Yes, monsieur. You are rich, Madame Clutter.
I wouldn't say rich. I'm well off.
And your husband has nothing?
Well...
The truth, madame. He lives on you.
Oh, I believe a man and wife should share.
Yes, yes. At any rate, it was your money he was playing with that night in the Alps. Well...
I suppose so.
Thank you. That is all.
One more question, madame. It has been suggested that the cards which were played with were actually brought in your husband's trunk. You can deny that, madame.
I'm confident that isn't true.
Thank you. Will the court please call Clutter's servant, Mong La.
Call Mong La.
Mong La.
Yes, Mr. Mong La.
You were a bearer to Mr. and Mrs. Clutter when they went to Burma on their honeymoon. You returned with them to England, and you have been Mr. Clutter's servant ever since.
Yes, Mr.
You came here to Grenoble with Mr. Clutter, but you did not go up into the mountains.
Burmese man no like snow. Could not do. I stay Grenoble.
You stay Grenoble. But you did pack Mr. Clutter's bag.
Yes, Mr.
Be careful and truthful, Mong La. Was there a pack of cards in Mr. Clutter's luggage?
No, mister.
You swear that?
Yes, mister.
Thank you.
Mangala, was your master a man of violent temper?
Sometimes so sudden he gets very angry.
Ah.
I am afraid, then all at once he is calm.
And was this murderous temper easily provoked?
Mr. Clutter, very fastidious. I tell you, mister, he must have silk next to skin. If everything not like he want, he very angry.
Did he quarrel with his wife?
Oh, yes, mister. They not happy together.
That's a lie!
Missy Clutter want to stay home. He want to go out. Many time they argue.
Thank you.
Has the defense any further witnesses?
One only, monsieur. A Colonel Sir John Strickland has offered to speak to the character of the prisoner.
Call Colonel Strickland.
Colonel Strickland.
Colonel Strickland.
I understand, mon colonel. You commanded a company at the beginning of the war in 1914, and Clutter was one of your subalterns.
Yes.
How was his record?
Extremely good. He was a man of great physical strength and endurance. When the others tired, he was an example for them.
Did you ever know him to be guilty of violence?
Only against the enemy. A little more of that sort of violence, and we might have won the war sooner than 1918. More or less.
Thank you.
Has the prosecution any questions?
No, sir.
Thank you, mon colonel. You may go. The avocat général will now address the jury.
And so it is. I cannot repeat too often, monsieur, murder is murder. We are told the Comte de Rosa was a cheat, that he was forced to resign from his club. These things have been said, but not proved. But even if they were proved, that would not justify murder, and particularly brutal murder with a bottle as a weapon. To kill in that way is the act of a beast of the jungle. And for beasts of the jungle, there is only a cage or death. Death is a barbarous punishment, but this was a barbarous crime. I ask for a verdict of guilty.
And therefore you are asked to believe, monsieur, that they looked for a sheep to shear and found instead, I use the Greek's own word, a tiger. If the tiger killed, who was to blame? The cheat? From first to last, the cheat. He is caught in the act and struck down. What would an honest host have done? Destroyed the cards, canceled the reckoning, and made a truce. But what did the Greek do? Called on his two bullies to hold Clutter helpless while the cheat slapped his face. Is it so strange that Clutter's patience broke? Do you wound a tiger and then blame him if he leaps? The defense is extreme provocation. And therefore, monsieur, I ask for an acquittal.
And now it is for me, as the president of the Court of Assize at Grenoble, to explain to the jury the questions it has to answer. Clutter is accused of murder and assassination. Murder means death inflicted voluntarily and not in self-defense. Assassination means murder accompanied by premeditation and the setting of traps. You must find whether the prisoner is guilty of either of these crimes, and you must all be agreed upon your verdict. In addition, you may find extenuating circumstances, and you may find them by a majority among you. The jury will retire. The prisoner will stand. Messieurs les jurés, you are agreed upon your verdict?
We are, monsieur le président.
How find you the prisoner as to the first question?
Guilty.
And as to the second?
Not guilty.
Let us be clear. You find Clutter guilty of murder, but not of assassination.
Yes, Monsieur le Président. Also, by a majority, we find extenuating circumstances.
Clutter, you have heard the verdict of the jury. Have you anything to say why sentence should not be passed upon you?
No, sir. I leave myself in the hands of the court.
Then pass me the book. By Article 304 of the laws of France, murder is punishable by death if it is preceded, accompanied, or followed by another crime. Otherwise, it is punishable by penal servitude for life, absolutely without remission. This article, again, is subject to modification by the law of extenuating circumstances. And that law applies in this case. Clutter, you are condemned to 20 years of hard labor in a penal colony with deportation to follow.
Can bear such a jangle of awful noise.
Oh, it's not awful to me. I'm a dancer, Elizabeth. A dancer must have music.
On the stage, of course, but please, not here.
Oh, I must rehearse.
But surely not today, of all days.
Why? What's today?
The 9th of June. Surely you remember.
Oh, the trial.
Yes. 7 years ago today.
Oh, I can't understand why I should be chosen to have trouble after trouble heaped on me.
You know, Elizabeth, you're worrying yourself into your grave.
Oh, my dear, the sooner the better.
You've grown morbid about it. You've made Archie Clutter into an idol.
Idols don't suffer torture. His life in Cayenne must be hideous. I've been reading some books. They say it's an awful place, a jungle riddled with fever.
But your husband was as strong as a grenadier. You've told me so over and over again. He'll live through it all, my dear, and come back to
you. No, never. Don't you remember my telling you what my servant Mong La said of him at his trial? He must always have silk next to his skin. There was the whole of Archie in that phrase. He could never have lived through these 7 years.
Worrying about him won't help. You don't sleep, Elizabeth. Your nerves are all raw. The least little thing upsets you. Oh, and all those drugs and medicines you take.
Oh, I must have something.
Oh, they're bad for you.
I couldn't live without them. They're my only help.
That's not much compliment to me.
Oh, my dear.
Haven't I given up some of my life for you, coming here and living with you in your house and trying to take you out of yourself a bit? I'm young still.
I never see you now, Corinne. You're out every night and every day.
At night, I dance for my living. And I'm making a success, Elizabeth.
And your days? You spend with Leon Bachelena.
Leon and I love each other.
Oh, Leon loves no one but himself.
Oh, that's not true.
Isn't it?
Oh, I know he's no good, really. He'd drop me tomorrow if it suited him, I suppose. But even so, he loves me in his own way.
He'll break your heart, Corinne. He'll destroy you. Give him up.
It was part of our bargain, Elizabeth, that you should not interfere in my private affairs. Oh, perhaps it was a mistake, my coming here.
No.
Oh, perhaps it would be better for both of us if I were to go.
No. No, you can't go. You can't leave me, Corinna. I'm ill. I need you.
Well, I suppose I'd better think about getting dressed.
You've plenty of time yet. You don't have to be at the club for another hour.
No, I suppose not.
Corinne, dear. You didn't really mean it about leaving me, did you?
Oh, let's not talk about it anymore now.
Corinne, there's something I want to tell you.
Oh, what?
I went to see my lawyer last week.
Yes?
Do you know why?
No.
To change my will. I've left everything to you.
To to me.
So you can't leave me now, can you? Can you, Corinne? Altogether, there should be about £40,000.
But what about your husband?
I don't even know if he's still alive.
But if he is...
Then, naturally, it would go to him.
You mean you want me to hold the money in trust for him?
Yes. That's to say, the capital. The income will be yours, of course. Archie's sentence still has 13 years to run. If he doesn't return to England, if there's no word of him at the end of that time, you'll have everything. You'll do this for me, won't you, Corinne?
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, but really, you know that this is a lot of morbid nonsense.
Is it? Then I must tell you something. There's a man. He's been here 3 times today already asking to see me. He left a note last time. He says I shall regret it all my life if I don't see him when he calls again tonight.
Well, what does he want? Money?
No. Look at this note.
Hmm? I keep a little restaurant in Soho, the Bouillabaisse. I shall come again this evening. I'm French, so you can imagine on what subject I shall come to speak. Gaspard Rousson. Oh, Elizabeth, you think...
Yes, I know it is.
Then why don't you see this man?
I'm afraid. I know what terrible news he may bring. I'm not fit for shocks. I can't stand any more.
Oh, that will be him now.
Please, Corinne, see him for me, will you?
Oh, yes, if you want me to, Elizabeth.
Oh, thank you, my dear. I'm going upstairs to bed now. Will you tell Mungla to bring up my medicine and my sleeping draught?
Yes, I will. I hope you'll be better in the morning.
I wonder. My head's so bad and my throat's so raw, I can hardly speak. Good night, dear.
Good night.
Don't stay up too late.
No, I won't. Come in.
It is your gentleman, Miss Corinne.
My gentleman?
Corinne, darling.
Oh, Leon, it's you. Oh, thank you, Mongla. You may leave us.
Yes, Miss Corinne.
Oh, Leon.
Oh, Corinne.
Oh, it's an age since I've seen you.
We had lunch today.
Oh, that's an age. Oh, kiss me again, Leon. Leon?
Yes, my sweet?
What would you do if I had £40,000?
I should love you as you ought to be loved, Corinne. I should love you magnificently.
And very publicly.
Who cares what the world knows?
You do, Leon.
Mm? You hold me so cheaply.
I know you.
And yet you love me?
Yes, and yet I love you, absurd, isn't it?
Yes. Corinne, I have some news for you. This will be our last drink together for a long time.
What do you mean?
I am going away.
Well, out of England?
Yes, back home to Spain.
Oh, you can't, Leon. You can't leave me.
I must.
Oh, but why?
There are people called creditors for being difficult. I owe money and I have none.
Leon, it is only money, isn't it? You've no other reason for going.
No, my darling.
Well, suppose I could find some money. You'd stay?
Of course. But why talk of what is impossible?
Leon... How long would £40,000 last us?
Well, that's the second time you have mentioned that sum. Why?
Because that's what Elizabeth has left me.
Left you? But Elizabeth is still alive.
Yes.
Then the money?
I am to hold it in trust for Archie Clutter.
When will he be free again?
Well, not for 13 years, unless...
Are you expecting a caller?
Yes, I am. Wait and hear what this man has got to say. Come in.
A gentleman has come again to see Mr. Clutter.
Show him in, Mongla. Mrs. Clutter has asked me to see him.
Yes, miss.
What do you think he wants?
I'm not sure. Here he comes.
The gentleman, miss.
You may go, Mongla.
Yes, miss.
Monsieur Roussonc, good evening.
Good evening. You are Madame Clutter?
Mrs. Clutter is in bed. She's ill, I'm afraid. I am her close friend.
Oh. My business is very private.
It concerns her husband?
Yes.
Well, you may speak freely, monsieur. In any case, I would not wish Mrs. Clutter to hear what may be bad news.
But this gentleman...
This is Señor Leon Bachelena.
How do you do?
How do you do?
He is also Mrs. Clutter's friend.
Eh bien, I speak. First, you must know that I have a young brother, Osper. He is at Cayenne for perpetuity. I cannot describe to you the life of the convicts there. It is a horror. Oh,
but what has all this got to do with Mrs. Clutter?
Her husband is Osper's friend. they plan to escape.
But escape is impossible from Cayenne. Quite, he said, the sharks are the jailers of Cayenne.
So it is said, and so it is. But from time to time, it happens. It is difficult, of course, and it takes money.
I didn't know the sharks had a currency.
Monsieur has a sense of humor.
This is no time for jokes, Leon.
I love my brother, mademoiselle. It is a wish and aim of my life to get him free. Next door to Cayenne in Dutch Guiana, there is a little company. They call themselves the Brethren of the Coast. They make it a business to help the convicts to escape. Always, of course, they do not succeed. But already they have got to me a letter from Ospel. Where a letter can get through, there's a chance that a man can get through. Two men.
But it would take money.
Yes, mademoiselle. For myself, with my little cafe in Soho, the bouillabaisse, two ends meet, but no more. That is why I come to Madame Clutter. Such a fortune for me, such a trifle for her.
What would you call a trifle, Monsieur Roussanc?
£500. No more than that.
Suppose Mrs. Clutter were to pay this money. How should she know if it would reach the Brethren of the Coast?
Or that it would even get beyond Soho?
Oh, no. The money will not be paid to me. It will be paid by Madame Clutter into a Dutch bank in Guiana.
But even so, what guarantee would she have that it would be used for her husband's escape?
Yes, that I admit is a chance she would have to take. But you will speak to Madame Clutter?
Yes, of course.
Give her this letter to show I tell the truth. It was enclosed in Ospel's letter to me.
It's from Clutter?
Yes.
Very well. She shall have it.
Oh, you are very kind, mademoiselle. I go now.
Leon, ring for Monlar.
Certainly.
Perhaps tomorrow, when you have spoken to Madame Clutter, she will let me know her decision.
Oh, yes, of course. Monlar, the gentleman is leaving.
Yes, miss. This way, please.
Good night, Monsieur Roussanc.
Good night, mademoiselle. Good night, monsieur.
Good night. Well.
Well, what?
There go your £40,000, my dear.
Oh, if the story's genuine.
There is this letter.
Oh, that may be a fake, too.
Elizabeth will know. She will recognize the handwriting.
I wonder what it says.
Why not open it and see?
Do you think I should?
Why not?
All right.
No. Not like that. Hmm? If you tear the envelope, Elizabeth would know. She may resent it. Give it to me. Have you a round pencil?
I think there's one over here. Yes. Here you are.
Thank you. See? I insert the pencil under the flap. I roll it very carefully. Now watch. It is opening. Do you see?
You are very versatile, Leon.
Oh, one needs a knowledge of such things. What does the letter say, Corinne? Well?
It's horrible. I can't understand how men survive.
Well, read it to me.
No. Read it yourself.
Not a pleasant letter. But genuine,
well,
I think.
Well, of course it's genuine. Roussanc was right. Archie Clutter must have help if he's to get away.
And without that help?
Well, you can see for yourself how hopeless it would be.
Yes, impossible. Ah, well, here is the letter. Oh, wait. I put it back in the envelope so, and I stick it down there. You will give it to Elizabeth, and she will send the money, and in a year, Clutter will be free. Are you coming now, Corinne? Can I give you a lift to the club?
I'm not ready yet.
Then you will excuse me if I go.
This means goodbye, I suppose, Leon.
Well, I never say goodbye. It is too embarrassing.
Oh, Leon, darling, don't leave me, please. I can't bear it. Whatever you wish I'll do, only stay with me.
Be reasonable, Corinne. I have to go. I have explained. I owe money.
Well, wait for a week.
Oh, I dare not.
Or for 3 days.
Impossible.
Until tomorrow, then. At least let me see you tomorrow.
What would be the use? We would only have the same scene over again then.
Well, perhaps by tomorrow something may have happened.
What could happen?
I don't know. Something may. I'll think of something. Oh, give me till tomorrow.
Well, if you insist. Good night, Corinne.
Aren't you going to kiss me?
Oh, if you wish. Good night.
Good night, my darling. Oh, it's not fair. It's not fair. Yes? Who is it? Come in. What do you want, Mongla?
Gentleman who left just now say he leave letter for Mr. Clutter. He say it very important from Mr. Clutter. You give letter to me, please.
Well,
You give letter to Mongla.
Yes. Well, of course.
Thank you, please. I take it now to Mr. Clutter.
Mongla, wait.
Yes, miss?
Come here.
Yes, miss?
Mongla, do you never wish to go back to your own country?
I poor man, miss. Bummer no good for poor man. Walk in fields, all time starve.
But if you were rich...
Oh, if I rich, I become important person in my village. I marry nice bummer girl, very happy.
Would you like that?
Yes, miss.
What would make you rich, Mongla?
75 English pounds a year. Money arranged with Lord Chancellor's seal by a lawyer.
75 pounds a year. All right. I promise.
You write little chit for Mongla.
No, that'd be too dangerous. You'll have to accept my word.
All right. But I hear things you speak just now to Spanish gentlemen. So Missy cannot afford to cheat.
No, of course I can't. So we shall have to trust each other, Mongla. Do you know what you have to do?
Yes, miss. First, I burn this letter. Like so.
And then?
Then I forget to tell Missy Clutter about the gentleman.
And then?
Is there more for Mongla to do?
Oh, yes. Just now, Mrs. Clutter asked me to tell you to take up her sleeping draught.
Yes, miss?
So presently, we will put it on the table by her bed, close to her hand, so that if she wakes during the night and can't go to sleep again, she can reach for it and drink it without turning on the light.
Yes, miss.
Also on the table, she keeps another glass, doesn't she, with disinfectant for her throat. The disinfectant is poison, so you always have to be careful, don't you, Mongla, in case the glasses should get mixed?
Yes, miss.
You understand what it is you have to do?
Yes, miss.
Now, go and get me a taxi.
Small tables.
Oh.
That's right, Ospel, but this no. Ospel, remember, the silver always bright and clean. It was so last year at the Bouillabaisse, and now that we've come to this new cafe, it must always be the same, Ospel, always bright and clean. You see?
I shall learn, Gaspar, I shall learn.
Well, tonight, I think I will put you in charge of this room, Ospel.
Not alone?
Well, I know. I give you one waiter. You shall ask him upstairs to help you.
I ask my prince upstairs?
Yes, why not, Ospel? All day long he lies on his bed upstairs, smoking his terrible cigarettes and drinking my red wine.
Perhaps he is thinking.
What of?
Of a plan.
Oh, to get his money.
Yes. And all the time you only speak one word, Corinne.
How he must hate her.
Is it to be wondered at?
And you think he will get his money from this Corinne?
Perhaps.
Yes. Oh, yes, Ospel, I'll get my money.
Yes, my prince.
Now, Gaspar Rouzon, the moment has come to be brave. Eh, Ospel?
There are things to be done.
What things?
Gaspar,
I want to know more about this Corinne. I want to study her.
How do you mean to do that?
I have learned that every night she dances at the Diplomats Club. Tonight, Ospel, you and I will be there.
Oh, but that is a rich man's club. You need money and the proper clothes.
That's why I say to Gaspar, the moment has come to be brave.
Oh.
I do not understand.
Money, Gaspar. We need money to buy the right clothes and to take us to the club.
How much?
£30.
Oh, impossible. I am a poor man.
£30.
Oh, but I tell you, this is a cafe, not a gold mine.
You will have £30 for us in half an hour.
Impossible.
Don't worry, Gaspard. Let me be alone. Tomorrow or someday soon, you shall have it back.
So you say.
You think I'm mad, Gaspard? Well, perhaps you're right. 7 years of hell in Cayenne doesn't help one to be sane. And for a year since I left Cayenne, I've been planning this. That's why I've been lying in your bed upstairs so long, drinking your cheap wine. Heaps of ways I thought of were madman's ways. Though I didn't see it at once. But I did in the end, and I cut them out. Yes, I cut them out, Gaspar. Even though they were rather attractive. Now, you give me £30 tonight, and tomorrow I shall have 40,000. You see this?
Latchkey.
Yeah, and it's also the key to my money box. It was thoughtful of Corinne to stay on in Elizabeth's house. It makes things so much easier for me.
Where did you get that latch key?
It's mine, Gaspar, the key to my own front door. I've had it for 8 years.
In Cayenne?
Yes, in Cayenne, too, in spite of all the clever warders. We had ways to hide things, haven't we, I suppose? Not very pretty ways, but efficient.
Oh, yes, Prince. Most efficient.
You were once, I am told, a well-known figure in London society.
I was?
Then you are not afraid. If you go to this club tonight, you will be recognized.
There used to be a practice for the gypsies to disfigure stolen children so that they wouldn't be known at the fairs. We don't need gypsies in these civilized days, my friend. We have Cayenne.
Right, it is true, you bear the marks of suffering. Perhaps there, too, lies a danger.
In what way?
To remain unnoticed at such a place, one must conform to a pattern. One must look a gentleman.
I am a gentleman.
Pardon the slight correction, monsieur. You were.
Don't worry, Gaspar. I can look the part still. I've been many things. In these last 8 years, haven't I, Osper?
Oh, yes, my friend.
A galley slave in a rowboat, a roadmaker stark naked in the jungle. An executioner. Did you know that, Gaspar? I was an important person, I tell you. The convicts shivered when I came near them. And finally, I reached the great position. I became the custodian of the convict's mortuary.
Oh, no.
You don't think that a nice profession, Gaspar? It's how Ospel and I got away.
Oh, yes. We paddled out to sea through the sharks on the mortuary table.
And were picked up by the brethren of the coast.
Brethren of the coast, nothing. We were picked up by a tramp steamer, which was short of hands, and the captain gave us a passage so that we might work in his damned stokehold. Even so, it was easier than Cayenne. Eh, Osper?
Yes, Prince, much easier.
And your little brother came home here to England, and I went on to Burma to attend to a little unfinished business. Ah, have no fear, Gaspar. I'll be a gentleman tonight. Now, come on, Gaspar, out with you. Get me that money.
Yes, Prince. Yes, monsieur. At once. Good, good, good.
Now, Ospel, let us drink a toast.
Yes, friends.
A toast, little man, to £40,000.
Corinne.
A young woman of versatile talents, Ospel. I look forward to meeting her.
Soon she will dance to your tune, eh?
Tonight, if she's wise. Well, well, well.
You see someone?
Yes, my friend, I see someone. My old CO, Colonel Sir John Strickland. He spoke for me at my trial.
Oh, which is he?
He's just come in. The head waiter's showing him to that table right over there.
The girl with him is very beautiful, in an English way. You know her, too?
After my time, I'm afraid.
I wonder who she is.
I wonder. Waiter!
Yes, sir? The young lady with Sir John Strickland, can you tell me who she is?
You don't recognize her, sir?
I've been out of England for some years.
Oh, I understand, sir. It's the Lady Ariadne Fern.
Mm-hmm. And who's she?
Oh, a very much photographed young lady, sir. Her picture's in all the fashionable magazines. A very charming young lady, if I may say so, sir.
Are they engaged?
Not to my knowledge, sir. In fact, it's the first time Sir John's been here for at least 18 months. I understand he's just returned from abroad, sir. He's been hunting in Burma.
In Burma, eh? Well, that's quite a coincidence, I suppose.
Oh, yes, my friends.
What was he hunting, waiter? Tiger?
I couldn't say, I'm sure, sir. Will that be all, sir?
Yes, thanks. Here, here. That's for your trouble.
Thank you, sir.
I wouldn't want people to think I was inquisitive. You'll forget this conversation took place.
Certainly, sir. I've forgotten it already.
Ah, it's too bad you're not a beautiful woman, Ospel. I'd ask you to dance.
It would be an honor, my prince.
However, let's drink. Waiter. Huh? Champagne.
Dance, Ariadne?
Not unless you particularly want to. It's so long since I've seen you. Let's just sit and talk.
Well, nothing I'd like better, more or less.
After all, you've been away for 2 years, haven't you?
I suppose I have, more or less.
And you only wrote to me once. Why?
Oh, various reasons, more or less.
If you say more or less again, I'll run screaming into the street. It's a perfectly idiotic phrase.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, why have you been away for nearly 2 years?
Well, I like traveling.
Lie number one, my dear.
And I adore the East.
Lie number two.
And I'm mad about shooting.
Lie number three.
No, that's true. Moral. I mean, it's like this. When a girl's troubled, she goes out and buys a new hat, doesn't she?
More or less.
Well, when a man's troubled, he gets a gun and kills something. It's a proof of our higher civilization.
So that's it, my dear man. You were troubled.
Well, more... I mean, yes.
Why?
Oh, well, if you want to know. Because 43 shouldn't mate with 23, when there are any number of highly desirable 28s and 29s clamoring for the privilege.
What are you going to do now, then? Run away again?
I don't know. That'd be rather pointless, I suppose.
And perfectly idiotic.
Oh, well, anyway, don't let's talk about me. What have you been doing all the while I've been away?
Oh, the usual things at the usual times. Life in London's been pretty boring during 1927 and 28. Really, if it weren't for Corinne...
Corinne? Oh, yes, of course. That girl dancing here tonight.
That girl dancing here tonight? Oh, don't be antediluvian. But even the tigers in the jungle have heard of her.
There's more truth in that than you know.
Oh? Oh, well, anyway, she's my dearest friend.
Do you mean that?
Yes. People say unkind things about her, I know, but most of it's jealousy. She's very lovely and very successful.
Well, I'm sure no one disputes that.
I want you to form your own opinion of her. That's why I've asked you here tonight to meet her.
Ariadne, I know you so well. I know how intensely loyal you are and how you hate gossip. But before I meet Corinne, there's one thing I feel I must tell you.
What's that?
When I was in Burma, I heard an ugly story about her. Apparently something had happened after I left England. At that time, Corinne was living in South Audley Street with a woman called Elizabeth Clutter.
Yes.
Did you know her then?
No, we met afterwards.
You're aware, of course, that Elizabeth Clutter's husband is, or was, a convict in a French penal settlement.
Yes.
Elizabeth Clutter died suddenly one night?
Yes. She poisoned herself. It was an accident.
Apparently there are some people who doubt that.
It was an accident. There was never any question of anything else. The coroner's verdict was quite clear.
Elizabeth Clutter left everything she had to Corinne.
Yes. Well, Corinne had been very good to her.
And the husband?
Well, naturally, Corinne agreed that if he turned up, she'd hand it over to him.
If he were to appear, you think she would?
Well, I'm sure she'd want to, but...
But what?
I've an idea. Most of it's gone.
Gone?
Yes. You see, Corinne has, well, rather expensive tastes, and... Well, then, of course, there's Léon.
Who's he? Where's he come in?
Oh, Léon Bachuliena. He's Spanish. They're in love with each other.
Anyway, between them, Corinne and Senor, whatever his name is, have more or less ploughed their way through Elizabeth Clutter's legacy,
Yes.
Suppose Archie Clutter comes back and demands his money. What will Corinne do?
Oh, I shouldn't think there's much chance of that. There's no certainty he's alive.
Oh, he's alive, all right. I can tell you that.
How do you know?
I've seen him.
What do you mean? He's been freed from prison?
I mean he's escaped.
But he's not... He's not here in England.
I don't know where he is now.
You're quite sure?
Quite. I knew this man, Clutter. I knew him well. He was a subaltern in my company during the war. A man of great physical strength and a deadly purpose.
What are you trying to tell me?
I'm trying to say that if Clutter comes back here and demands his money and finds it gone, he's not going to sit down and take it like a lamb.
You mean Corinne may be in danger?
Yes. And so may anyone else who takes her part, my dear.
But this is terrible. We must warn her, John. I'm sure she hasn't the faintest idea.
Ariadne!
Oh, here comes Leo.
Ariadne, my dear, how are you?
Oh, Leo, I didn't expect to see you.
Corinne informed me to say you are bringing an old friend to the club. I have been with her in her dressing room. She says she will join us in 2 minutes.
Good. Leo, may I present Colonel Sir John Strickland? John, this is Signor Bacigliana.
Charmed.
How do you do? Won't you sit down?
You are very kind. We have heard much of you, Sir John, from Ariadne.
Oh, really?
You have been shooting lions in Malaya.
Well, actually, it was tiger in Burma.
Oh, you must forgive me. I do not understand about these things.
I suppose you don't.
Leo isn't really the outdoor type.
So I rather gathered.
Oh, here comes Corinne now. Darling, you're so quick.
I do apologize for keeping you waiting so long.
Oh, that's all right. Corinne, I want you to meet a very old and dear friend of mine, John Strickland.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Ariadne talks of you so often, I feel as though we're old friends already. Well, let's all have a drink.
Yes, there's champagne here. Allow me.
Thank you.
Drink quickly and have another, Corinne.
Oh, why this urgent haste?
Well, I've an idea. You're going to need it. You too, Leo.
I don't think I understand.
Colonel Strickland has news for you both, and it's not very good news.
News of what?
Look here, Ariadne, don't you think...
I'd much rather you told Corinne now.
Oh, just as you please. Sit down, both of you. Now, as you probably know, Miss...
Call me Corinne.
Oh, thank you. As you know, Corinne, I was recently in Burma.
Yes.
I'm rather fond of hunting. At least I did a little while I was there. Shortly before I left for home, I was at a place called Magok. The district superintendent of police, a man named Thorne, told me of a tiger that had been terrifying the neighboring villages. Carried off a girl and 2 children. The head man of one of the villages had also been taken, or at least so it was assumed. His body had been found badly mauled, the neck broken. And the evidence suggested the tiger had been interrupted before he could dispose of his prey.
Well, this is very unpleasant and gruesome, Sir John.
Oh, forgive me, I shouldn't tell the story at all if it weren't necessary.
Please go on.
Thank you. Well, I was asked if I'd hunt the tiger. I said I would. There was a clearing he was known to haunt. The natives built me a mashan, that's to say, a small platform, in a large tree on the edge of the clearing. And at nightfall, I took up a position on this platform and waited with my loaded rifle. Well, nothing happened till towards morning. Then there came a smashing of the undergrowth. I raised my rifle, but I never fired it. For the figure which emerged into the clearing was a man.
A man?
You mean a native?
No. A white man. Oh. I don't know whether he'd gone native or animal or what. For a moment he stood there, half clad, his eyes glistening in the moonlight. A gaunt giant, lean with the hunger of years. He seemed to me like, well, like a Greek god gone wrong, more or less. Oh. He'd been a handsome man once, and now his face was a ruin, mauled and ravaged by suffering and misery and hatred.
Did you speak to him?
No, I was so startled I could do nothing. Before I'd regained my self-possession, he'd gone.
Back into the jungle?
Yes.
But what happened then?
As soon as it was dawn, I returned to Magok.
But didn't you get your tiger after all?
No. No other tiger passed that way that night.
If you will forgive me, Sir John, I still fail to see what this has to do with Corinne.
This head villager I told you of, the one whose body they found, was named Mong La.
Mong La?
Yes.
He'd lived for some years in England. You knew him, I believe.
Yes, sir. Very well. He was the servant of a great friend of mine. Soon after she died, he went home.
Yes, Morlar returned to Burma a wealthy man. Wealthy by Burmese standards, anyhow. In fact, there was a certain amount of suspicion about him in some quarters. People wondered how he came to have so much money.
He was a very careful man. He saved nearly all his wages every month.
Yes, well, I dare say that could explain it.
I, too, knew Morlar. But in any case, what does it matter? You say he is dead.
Oh, yes, he's dead, all right. I asked to see his body. And I'm satisfied the natives were wrong. My belief that Mong La was not killed by a tiger, but by another man.
The one you saw in the jungle?
Yes. You see, later, much later, I realized who that man was.
Who?
His name was Archie Clutter.
Clutter?
That is absurd.
But how... did you know him?
I knew him well.
Well, you may have been mistaken.
I wish I could believe that.
You're positive it was he?
Yes.
But it is impossible. He is a prisoner in Cayenne.
He was a prisoner in Cayenne. It's obvious he escaped by some means and made his way to Burma.
But why?
Well, perhaps to find Mong La and even scores with him. You see, Mong La's evidence of the trial hadn't been altogether in his master's favor.
Then if he killed Mong La, it means he didn't speak to him first.
I don't think we can assume that.
From Cayenne to Burma is almost as far as from Burma to here.
Almost.
And he may even be in England now.
He may well be.
I think if you'll excuse me, I must go now.
Pull yourself together, Leon.
But don't you understand?
Oh, for heaven's sake, he's not here in this club.
He may be.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. You know, of course, Sir John, that I have some reason to fear Archie Clutter.
Yes.
I told Sir John I thought you'd spent most of the money. I hope you don't mind.
Well, of course not, but it's only part of the truth. The fact is, we've spent it all, Leon and I, between us.
You'll kill us. He'll kill us both. I must leave England at once. I must go home to Spain.
What about me?
I have no money for two, Corinne. You know that.
Oh, no. Leon.
Sir John will look after you, won't you, Sir John? You must try to understand. It's impossible for me. Well, if you'll excuse me, good night. Good night, all.
Leon, come back.
Oh, my God. Let him go, dear. He's not worth it.
I say, don't you think, more or less, I mean...
Yes, it's time we all went. Please, go in.
I'm sorry. I knew it would end, but I didn't think it would be quite as abrupt as this.
Oh, it's my fault, more or less. I shouldn't have told you the story till you were alone.
He'd have found out sooner or later, and then he'd have gone away anyway.
Oh, he'll come back, I'm sure.
Never.
You don't really mean he will go home, Spain.
He'll be on the first plane tomorrow, unless you can get one tonight.
Well, I'll be damned.
Are you ready, Corinne?
Yes.
Come on, then. Let's get out of this place.
Look, my prince. They are going now.
Ospel, finish your drink. We have work to do.
Who's there?
Don't scream, little Corin.
Who are you?
Don't you know?
Oh, no. It can't be. It can't be.
It is Corin. Archie Clutter has come home. I said don't scream. You see, screaming might bring the police, and you wouldn't want that any more than I would. If you have to die, better drown in your bed than swing on the gallows. Now, if I take my hand away from your mouth, will you promise to lie quiet? Nod your head. That's a sensible girl. Yeah. Here, drink this glass of water. Better?
Yes.
Good. Now we'll talk. 18 months ago, you murdered my wife.
No.
Well, let's not split straws. Mong La murdered her on your instructions.
That's not true. You've got to believe
Corinne, it'll save time if you stop denying what we both know to be the facts. You see, Mong La told me everything before he died.
Oh, he was lying. I swear he was.
He had no reason to lie. On the contrary, he was under the slight misapprehension that if he told me the whole truth and all the truth, he might save his miserable life.
So, it was you.
Yes. But how... Oh, of course, yes, Strickland. He was in Burma recently. So he knows too, does he?
He guessed.
So that makes us both murderers, Corinne. I killed Mong La and you killed my wife. Now, I could forgive you that. In fact, I could almost applaud it. But you also tried to murder me.
No.
There was a letter telling Elizabeth to send money to a certain address in Dutch Guiana.
I didn't know of any letter.
It was handed to you personally by a friend of mine, Gaspar Rouzon. In fact, Gaspar's little brother, Ospel, is here with me now. Come in, Ospel.
Good evening, mademoiselle.
Don't be alarmed. He's a harmless little man. You wouldn't hurt Corinne, would you, Ospel?
Oh, no, my prince.
Now, let's get back to the letter, shall we, Corinne? You destroyed it.
No. It was Mon La.
On your orders, which amounts to the same thing. That money was to buy my escape.
Our escape?
Yes, Ospel. It was to be our passport to freedom, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And when you, Corinne, destroyed the letter, you thought and hoped you were condemning us to death. But it didn't work out that way. We're tougher than you thought, aren't we, Ospel?
Yes, my prince.
But we're also very generous, aren't we, Ospel?
Oh, yes, my prince.
We could kill you, but we haven't. In fact, if you're sensible and do as we say, we may even forgive you the letter.
What is it you want?
I want my money, Corinne, £40,000.
Elizabeth left it to me.
To hold in trust for me, the money. Now give it to me and we'll let you go.
I can't.
Corinne, I am not a patient man.
But I tell you, I can't.
Why not?
It's spent.
What?
She makes a joke.
It's gone, all of it.
You and Bachelena?
Yes.
Is this the truth, Corinne? Now don't lie to me, I warn you, don't lie.
I swear it's true.
Good God! What shall I do? 8 years I've waited for this. And 7 of them, a slave under a brass sky with knights in a cage, 40 of us, beasts, stifled, fighting, sweating, filthy. But I knew I'd escape to somewhere cool, with a room to myself, and clouds, and snow. Yes, snow. And now, my room in the cool, you've drunk it up and eaten it and gambled it. You and your Spaniard, I could kill you now, this minute, with my bare hands.
Gently, my friends, gently. Let us think.
Yes, Ospel, let us think. Yes. There must be something left, something. There's this house.
It's mortgage for all it can stand.
Jewels, you must have jewels.
A few small ones.
Where are they?
In the box on the dressing table.
Go and take them, Ospel.
Yes, my prince.
And there must be other things. Clothes, furs.
I'll sell those for what they'll fetch.
And the stuff in this house, the furniture and so on.
I'll sell that too.
I don't suppose the lot'll bring in over 1,000.
The jewels will not bring a quarter of that sum.
I told you there were only a few small ones.
These are all you have.
Yes, I'll get you money somehow. I will, I swear I will.
How?
My dancing. You shall have all I earn, everything.
Oh, yes, for a week or two. And then you'd be off to America or somewhere, and I'd have to stoke my way after you. No, you've got to get it now.
I can't.
Lie still. Lie still, will you? Let me think. Ah, you have rich friends. That woman you were with at the club tonight.
What, Ariadne?
Yes, she's rich.
Oh, she hasn't a farthing.
That's a lie.
It's true. She has a small income from her father's estate, enough to live on, nothing more.
Mm-hmm. What about her lover, Strickland?
He's not her lover, not in the sense you mean.
Let's not quibble about words. He's in love with her.
Yes, I think so.
Strickland's a rich man.
He wouldn't give money for me.
No, but wait a minute. He'd give it for her. All that he had, and all that he could borrow on the top of that if he thought she was in any sort of danger, wouldn't he?
I don't know.
Wouldn't he?
Yes, I suppose so.
Yes, that's how we'll get it, through that friend of yours. Wait a bit. She has a car?
Yes.
There's only one thing to do now.
I'll telephone the police, and you must tell them at once.
No, no, not the police.
What?
Oh, please. There must be some other way.
Corinne, if we're to see this through, Ariadne and I, we must know the truth.
But you do know it.
All of it?
I don't know what you mean.
Is it only clutter you're afraid of? Or is there something else, too?
What else could there be?
That's what I'm asking you. You see, I've got to be sure.
Sure of what?
Sure that what you're afraid of is the wild beast of the jungle and not the law.
No, of course not.
You see, when I was in Burma, there were certain rumors.
Rumors? What rumors?
Well, about Mong La, for instance. It was thought he'd been mixed up in something rather discreditable over here and that he'd been paid well to leave England. You know nothing of this?
No. Why should I?
Now, we're not judges, Corinne. We want to find a way out for you if we can. But my trouble's this. Archie Clutter made a long and, for a man without money, a difficult journey to reach Mong La, didn't he?
Yes.
Well, then, answer me this. What was the information, dangerous for you, which Mong La gave to Archie Clutter?
Obviously, Mong La told him nothing.
Then are you telling me that Archie Clutter worked his way half across the world just to wreak vengeance on Mong La for the things he said at the trial? I doubt it.
Clutter may be mad, John.
Yes.
Well, if so, he's all the more dangerous, isn't he?
Yes, I see. I'm sorry, I'm only trying to understand this thing, more or less, that's all. Because if we're going to fight Clutter, we must try to put ourselves in his place, see things from his point of view.
We are going to fight him, aren't we?
Of course.
And without the police?
Well, if you insist, Corinne, yes.
Oh, thank you.
Now, let's see. He's in the dark, isn't he? Moving at his pleasure, choosing the moment to strike.
Oh, that's what so terrifies me.
Yes. Then if he's in the dark, we'll take to the shadows, more or less, too.
Well, how can I do that?
Well, easily.
But I'm well known here in London as a dancer, and
I'll tell you my plan. I'll lend you a house I bought a year ago. Nobody knows of it yet.
Clutter would find it out.
Even so, he couldn't follow you there.
Why not?
It's in France.
Oh, Corinne, don't you see? The one country into which Archie Clutter daren't follow you.
Exactly. Let that escaped convict from the French penal settlement set foot in France, and he'd be rearrested on landing.
Oh, John, it's a wonderful idea of yours. Oh, only you'd have to throw up your engagement at the club, Corinne.
Oh, she can plead illness.
Oh, but I've no money.
We can manage that.
Oh, that gives me an idea, too.
I'm afraid of your ideas, Ariadne.
No, seriously. I'll go with Corinne.
Oh, Ariadne, please, will you?
Yes, and I tell you what we'll do. We'll take my little motor car across.
But your engagement's in London.
Oh, as if they mattered now.
Have you both got passports?
Yes.
Good. Well, I'll get your tickets now, and you can cross first thing tomorrow morning.
Yes, but wait a minute, John. Where is this house of yours?
Oh, I haven't told you yet, have I?
No.
It's in the south of France, close to Avignon. Lovely old place. Set back in a small park that runs down to the River Rhone. The Villa Laure. A married couple look after it for me, Pierre and Denise Bouchon. They live at the lodge by the entrance gates, a few hundred yards away.
Madame Bouchon!
Yes, mademoiselle. I wish you would call me Denise.
Denise? Well, I will. Denise, tell me, how far is Orange from here?
About 30 kilometers, mademoiselle.
That's nearly 20 miles. It's 7 o'clock now, and the circus starts at 8. We're going to be awfully late. Ariadne?
Yes, dear?
Do hurry. We'll be late.
I shan't be a minute now.
Oh, why we have to go all that way to a circus, I can't imagine, Denise. It probably won't even be a good one.
Oh, but it is, mademoiselle. Pierre and I went last year, and it was magnificent. And this year...
Will you draw the curtains, please, Denise?
But certainly, mademoiselle.
It gets dark so quickly here in Avignon.
Forgive me, mademoiselle, but I have noticed several times you are a little nervous here.
A little, perhaps.
But there is nothing to fear. The neighbors are good people.
Neighbors? Well, there isn't one within a mile of us. We could all be murdered. Not a soul would know.
What a thought. The park wall is high, and besides, my Pierre, he has a gun. He would protect you.
But even your lodge is a quarter of a mile from here. If I'd known it would be like this. So big. So lonely.
Oh, voyons, voyons, mademoiselle.
It's the silence I can't bear, Denise. It frightens me.
Oh, but Mademoiselle has lived in the towns. Now when Pierre and I, we go into Marseille, the people and the traffic and the noise are more than we can bear. So we are always happy to be home. Ah, there is Pierre now with my lady's car. You will be late tonight, Mademoiselle?
I expect so.
I will tell Pierre to leave open the gates of the park.
No, lock them.
But you will then have to ring, and Pierre would then have to get up and open them.
I said lock them.
Yes, Mademoiselle.
Mademoiselle, the car is ready in the courtyard.
Thank you, Pierre.
I have brought some letters and a telegram.
A telegram?
It is addressed to my lady.
Oh, never mind. I'll see what it is. It may be something important. The moment you receive this, both drive into Avignon and stay the night at the Hotel de l'Europe. Wait for me there. This is urgent, Strickland. You found this at the lodge, Pierre?
Oui, mademoiselle.
When did it come?
What can I say? Once my wife and I have left the lodge, in the morning we do not see it again till evening.
But it was sent from London last night. It's probably been lying in your lodge all day.
I'm sorry, mademoiselle. I was not to know. The messenger should have brought it here to the house. I hope it was not of importance.
Pierre?
Mademoiselle?
You were working in the park this afternoon.
I was in the garden.
You saw no strangers?
Strangers?
A tall man and a short man.
No, mademoiselle. What should strangers be doing in our park?
No, of course not. They wouldn't come till after dark.
I do not understand, mademoiselle.
No, Pierre, you wouldn't understand.
Mademoiselle, I have left out a cold supper for you both. Will that be all now?
Yes, thank you, Denise. Good night.
Good night. Pierre. Allô, Pierre vite.
Oui, oui, je viens. Good night, mademoiselle.
Good night, Pierre. The moment you receive this, both drive into Avignon and stay the night at the Hotel de l'Europe. Wait for me there. This is urgent, Strickland. Ariadne? No. No, I'll keep this to myself.
Are you calling, Corinne? I'm just coming. Sorry I've been so long. I've had the most frightful trouble with my head. Why, Corinne, what's the matter?
Matter?
You look as though you've seen a ghost.
Oh, nonsense. I'm all right. Ariadne, do you mind awfully if I don't go with you tonight?
Of course not, but...
Well, I've just had a letter.
Oh, is the post in?
Yes, Pierre brought it from the lodge. These are for you.
Oh, thanks. Oh, nothing from John. He is a beast not to have written. You were saying, dear, you just had a letter?
Yes. Some friends of mine, the Mannerings.
Mannerings?
I don't think you've met them. They're from Liverpool. They're motoring to Italy and are staying the night at Avignon. They want me to dine with them.
But how did they know you were here?
I wrote to them.
What? You wrote to them, telling them where we are?
You don't mind, do you, Ariadne? Oh,
no, of course not. Oh, well, I'll drop you at Avignon.
No, no, it's out of your way.
Oh, only a couple of miles.
No, it's late already. You'd miss half the circus. Unless you would like to change your plans, too, and come along with me. I'm sure my friends would love to have you.
No, I wouldn't miss the circus for anything. Besides...
Well?
Well, an evening away from each other won't do us any harm, will it?
No, no. We are getting a little on each other's nerves. Cooped up here together.
Yes, I think we are. Well, I'll wait up for you if I'm back first.
No, don't do that. Just leave the door on the latch.
Leave the door on the... Oh. Very well. I'm sure you'll be all right about getting into Avignon, I mean.
Of course. I'll phone for a car.
All right, then. Good night. I'll tell you about the fat lady in the morning.
Good night, Ariadne. Now, I'll phone the station at once. What's the number? 49. Hello? 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 Donnez-moi le numéro 49, s'il vous plaît. Hello? La gare? Parlez-vous anglais, monsieur? Oh, thank you. Would you tell me, please, what time the next train leaves for Marseille? Marseille.
I shouldn't bother, Carmen. Weren't you expecting us?
Why no one?
Ospel, you may come in now.
Yes, my prince. Good evening, mademoiselle.
Her ladyship drove off only a few moments ago. We were just too late to stop her. Where was she going?
To Orange, to the circus.
Is that the truth?
Yes.
And she'll be coming back here tonight?
Yes.
What time?
I don't know, but before midnight.
Why didn't you go with her?
I made up my mind to get out of here tonight. I was going to Marseille, and then I don't know where. Somewhere on the Riviera, perhaps.
Why?
Because I knew you were coming.
How did you know?
Well, there was a telegram this evening.
From Strickland?
Yes.
I see. So he's tracked us out of England. So? And if you knew about this, Ariadne must know it, too. Which means you lied when you said she was coming back.
No, she doesn't know.
Corinne, be careful.
I swear to you she doesn't. I opened the telegram. I didn't show it to her. I have it here in my pocket still. See for yourself if you don't believe me.
Why didn't you tell her, Corinne?
Oh, don't you see? I was helping you.
Oh, helping me?
Yes. I knew you didn't want me. It's Ariadne you want, isn't it? For a ransom. So I thought if I went away...
You'd betray your friend. Only Ospel and I happened to arrive a little earlier than you'd expected, and so we've upset your plan. Perhaps the lady would like us to withdraw for half an hour, Ospel.
I have no doubt of it, my
friend. Sit down, Corinne.
Oh, please. I'm of no use to you.
Sit down. Are you alone?
Yes.
Servants?
Well, they've gone back to the lodge.
Yes, we saw them. They're the only two?
Yes.
Look after her a moment, Ospel. I'll make sure she's not lying. Now, take care. She's a cunning little slut.
Yes, I'll take care.
You're Ospel Roussan, aren't you?
Ah, you remember Ospel now, huh? But the time to have remembered Ospel was when Ospel was rotting in Cayenne.
Ospel, please. You'll let me go, won't you? It isn't me you want, after all.
You say that to my friend, huh? Perhaps he'll listen. Perhaps not.
I'm talking to you. If you let me go, you shall have money, I promise you.
You have no money. You say so yourself.
I can arrange it, though. I have a brother. Yes, he'll pay you.
How much?
All he has, and everything I earn. Only let me go.
I should have to discuss it with my friend.
No, but before he returns, please, Ospel.
I tell you something, mademoiselle. In Cayenne, there was only one sin... And that was treachery. And the knife punished it. Do you think I would betray that prince? I would rather die.
What's he ever done for you?
When we floated out to sea on a table, I saw a shark turn over on its back within a foot of me. And my friend, he drove his paddle into its mouth and saved my life. Now, hold your tongue.
Ospel, we could go away together.
I said, hold your tongue.
Well, it seems she's told the truth for once. The house is empty.
I've never lied to you, ever.
You hear that, Ospel? Our Corinne has a sense of humour. It's very rare amongst dancers, I'm told. Her ladyship will be back about midnight, you say?
Yes.
That leaves us hours to spare, even after we've dealt with you.
After you've dealt with me?
Yeah. You don't imagine we're going to let you get away with it a second time, do you?
I've done nothing.
You hear that, Ospel? The lady protests she's done
In
nothing.
In fact, I've helped you.
Better and better, Ospel. She's helped.
But I have. I deliberately didn't tell her about the telegram, so she'd come back here for you to find.
Not to help us, Corinne. That was to save your own beautiful, treacherous neck. Hear ye! Hear ye! Hear ye! The court of assize is in session.
He's mad.
The prisoner will stand. Stand up, Corinne. Silence in court. The Avocat General will speak. That you, Ospel.
Oh, yes, my friend. What shall I say?
Oh, never mind. I'll say it for you.
The Avocat General claims that the prisoner, having had the opportunity to send money to the Brethren of the Coast, left Archie Clutter and Ospel Roussan to rot in Cayenne. The Avocat General claims the penalty of death.
Death.
What do you say to that, Corinne? What? No answer? Answer me this, then. Is it true, Corinne, that at 2 o'clock on the morning a fortnight ago, Archie Clutter and Ospel Roussan paid you an unexpected visit?
Yes.
And did you, Corinne, promise Clutter you would say nothing of this visit to anyone at all?
I did. Oh, but I kept my word.
Did you? And did you bolt 2 days later with so much secrecy that had not the brilliant Clutter followed your heavy luggage to the station and noted the address to which it was dispatched, he might never have discovered you?
But I hadn't a doubt you'd find us out. I was sure you'd follow.
Even into France? What have you to say to that, prisoner? The court will observe she does not answer. Gentlemen of the jury, you will now consider your verdict. You have three questions to answer. Is the prisoner guilty? Was there premeditation in her guilt? Are there mitigating circumstances? You must agree by unanimity on the prisoner's guilt. You may, by a majority, demand mitigating circumstances. Well, has the jury agreed upon its verdict?
Yes, sir.
The answer to the first question is...
guilty.
Bravo. To the second?
Guilty.
Bravo. To the third?
Well, as the prisoner has tonight repented... And
placed
at our disposal, the Lady Ariadne. Mm-hmm. The jury grants her...
mitigating circumstances.
Yes.
You hear that, Corinne?
Well, then you'll let me go.
Do you throw yourself on the mercy of the court?
Yes.
A book of spells?
Yes, my prince. Here.
Thank you. Ah, Flaubert. The crimes of murder, treachery and theft, not to mention deceit, of which the prisoner stands convicted, are punishable by the following penalties. Under Article 92, page 215 of the novel, Madame Bovary, the prisoner may be sentenced to death with every sort of harrowing torture that the minds of two convicts can devise. Under paragraph 3, however, of page 36, a verdict of mitigating circumstances gives great latitude to the judge. The prisoner is sentenced to be locked up for the night in a secluded part of the house where she can communicate with no one.
Please, won't you let me go now?
And lie in wait at the park gates to warn Ariadne?
No, I wouldn't. I want this pursuit to end, don't you see that? I want it to end tonight.
You shall have your wish, Corinne. It will end tonight. Now, what's behind this door?
The stairs.
And the bedroom?
Yes.
Come with me, Corinne.
No, you needn't lock me away. I give you my word.
Come with me, Corinne.
What's that you have in your hand?
A cord.
Oh, no.
Unlike yourself, I always keep my word. I warned you what would happen if you tried any tricks.
But you said just a minute ago, you said...
The court has revised its verdict.
Oh, you don't mean you can't do
it. Going to the park, Ospel. I'll join you later and we'll wait there for Ariadne.
Yes, my prince.
And now, Corinne, my little prisoner, the moment has come to be brave.
No.
I've been waiting at these park gates for an hour, more or less. Thank God I stopped you in time.
Why are you here at all? I thought you were still in London.
Didn't you get my telegram?
Telegram, no.
I sent it late last night. Pierre told me he gave it to Corinne with the letters.
To Corinne?
Anyway, there's no time to lose. Somehow, Clutter and Ospel slipped through our fingers. I suppose they'd find out your address and had taken a chance to re-enter France. So I chartered a plane and flew here. Now listen, Ariadne. A lot's happened that you know nothing about. You better prepare yourself for a shock.
Is it something to do with Corinne?
Yes, she's dead.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, my dear. I should have told you more tactfully.
But how did it happen?
Clutter.
He's here?
Yes, with Ospel. They found her soon after you'd gone.
Oh, and they killed her?
Yes.
Oh, how horrible.
You see, I only reached Avignon this evening. When there was no sign of either of you at the hotel, I came straight here. Pierre and Denise told me you'd gone to Orange, and that Corinne was still in the house. Oh. I felt instinctively then that something was wrong, so I went up to the house, and that was how I found her.
How you found poor Corinne?
Yes.
And Clutter, what about him?
Except for Corinne, the house was empty. So he and Ospel must be in the park somewhere.
Waiting for me?
Yes.
Oh, thank God you came. Have you called the police?
No.
Oh, but surely...
No, Ariadne. You see, these two men are like beasts. They are beasts. They live by night. The darkness is their friend. If I call the police, these men will be lost in the shadows and never be seen again. No, I must lure them into the open somehow.
But not alone, John. They're 2-1. Well, surely at least Pierre could help
you. Not even Pierre. I must find some way to trick them, and I must do it alone.
I could help, John.
You?
When natives hunt a tiger, Don't they sometimes tether a lamb in an open clearing and lie in wait?
Yes, more or less, but...
Let me be the lamb.
How do you mean?
Well, you say they're not in the house.
No.
But if you could tempt them in there, away from the darkness of the park... Don't you see, John, all I have to do is drive up to the house as if I were aware of nothing, go inside, and they'll come in after me. But you'll be there already, waiting for them.
No, it's absurd.
But there'd be no danger.
Wouldn't there? Sometimes the tiger reaches the lamb before the hunters can fire.
Not with you as the hunter, John.
No, I can't permit it.
But please.
I mean, if anything were to go wrong, more or less, I'd never forgive myself.
But if it's the only way...
No, no, I'd rather they went free. Don't you see, Ariadne? I can't do it. I love you too much.
I love you too, John.
You do?
Of course. I always have.
But I'm an old man, more or less.
And that's why you went off to shoot things?
Well, yes.
Oh, John, you fool. You adorable fool. Don't you see? We're both in this together now. More so than ever. So let me start the car and drive up to the house.
Very well. But give me just a moment or two to go on ahead of you.
All right.
Now, drive in slowly through these park gates as if nothing had happened. Then leave the car and go into the house. I'll be there, waiting for you. And for them.
Good hunting, my darling.
Ariadne, is that you?
Yes, John.
I'm over here. Leave the lights off. Now do exactly as I tell you. Is that clear?
Yes.
Go over to the curtains at the long windows and draw them apart. Now unlatch and open one of those windows. Only one. Open both the shutters. Listen very carefully. Remember, they can see you now standing in that window. Without any appearance of haste, go to the light switch and stand by it. When I say, now, like that, switch on the lights and keep back. Is that quite clear? Shh, shh, they're coming.
Good evening, Lady Ariadne.
Oh, you.
Two gentlemen from Cayenne desire your better acquaintance. Ospel, bow to the lady.
Good evening, mademoiselle.
Now.
Hey, look out, there's a trap!
You, Strickland.
Oh! Oh, my prince! My prince! Oh, you've killed him!
Oh. Now then, Rosanque, up with your hands.
John. John!
No, don't move, Ariadne, yet. The jungle has 1,000 tricks.
Is Clutter?
Yes. He's dead. Better for him, Ariadne. Better than a cage.
That was No Other Tiger, a play by A.E.W. Mason from his novel of the same name. It was arranged for broadcasting by Rex Renitz and Raymond Rakes. The part of Archie Clutter was played by Alec Clunes, with Austin Trevor as President of the Court of Assize, William Fox as Colonel Sir John Strickland, Nicolette Bernard as Lady Ariadne Fern, and Jane Wenham as Corinne the Dancer. The part of Andreas Eleftheros, the Greek, was played by Trader Faulkner. Maître Larolle, the defense counsel, by Hamlin Benson. The Avocat General, the prosecuting counsel, by Wilfred Carter. Elizabeth Clutter, by Isabel Rennie. Maung Hla, her Burmese servant, by Gerard Green. Leon Bachilena, by Gordon Gardner. Gaspar Rusenk, by Bruce Beebe. And Hospel Rusenk, his younger brother, by Andrew Sachs. A head waiter and the foreman of the jury were played by Alan Haynes, Denise by Gladys Spencer, and Pierre by Ralph Truman. The production, which was recorded, was by Raymond Rakes.